man that we read about in Psalm 112 is a man, a person we all ought to want to be like. The Bible says that he feareth or respects and holds in awe the Lord, that he delights greatly in the Lord's commandments, that his seed or his children will be mighty on earth and their generation will be blessed. It says his righteousness will stand forever, that he'd be gracious, full of compassion, righteous, just, not be moved. All good characteristics and good traits that we ought to have in our life as Christians. But tonight I want to look at just verse 7, the characteristic of this man that's listed there. His heart shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You know, we live in a day of evil tidings. I was at the library. It's probably been 6 months ago, and I was trying to look up something about my grandfather. And so I went back. They have old newspapers on computers. I think you can tie into them from home, but I just like to go to the library sometimes. And I found the newspaper I was looking for, and before I got to what the birth announcement I was looking for, I looked at what was on the front page. Here's what was on the front page. Uncle George and Aunt Sally are coming to visit. Front page. Now, this was from Paragould, Arkansas, so, you know, you got to give a little bit of understanding that, you know, in Arkansas, they report a little bit news a little bit different, right, Brother Clyde? But this was a major newspaper in that city, and one of the headlines on the front page was that somebody, Uncle George and Aunt Mary, was coming to visit. There was another story on the front page about a little girl having her tonsils out the past day. And there was a report of the church ice cream social and how many they had at the ice cream social. Now, I didn't pick up the Flint Journal this morning, but I dare say that you would not find a story like any of those in the Flint Journal this morning. Again, I didn't read it, but there was probably a story about some crime. There was probably a story about, you know, what's going on with North Korea. There was probably a story about, you know, how government employees are traveling on our money. And, I mean, there was probably all sorts of stories like that. Good news doesn't sell newspapers. Good news doesn't sell magazines. Good news doesn't get ratings on TV. I don't read magazines except when I'm standing in line at Myers. And it doesn't matter. I could close my eyes and tell you what the headlines are in the magazines that are at the checkout counter. Somebody's breaking up with their husband again. Somebody's cheating on their spouse. And the government is hiding something from us about UFOs. I mean, I could just go in tonight, I could close my eyes, I could say, these are the headlines, and I get one of them right. Maybe not all three of them, but I get one of them right. Again, I listened to the radio as I was following that lady down the freeway yesterday afternoon coming to the wedding. And again, I heard about, you know, North Korea. It's the anniversary of their Communist Party in North Korea in a couple days or a week or so, and they're afraid that they're going to shoot off another missile. I heard about how everybody in Puerto Rico was upset because it's taken so long to get aid down there. And again, we live in a day where you don't hear good news, you hear bad news on every form of communication we have to get news. Now, I think that I don't think the man in Psalm 112 was exempt from that. I think in his day there was also bad news being delivered. I think there could have been a war going on. There was unrest in the world. There was corruption in the world. Perhaps there was bad news that came and to his family. Maybe somebody was sick, and maybe somebody was dying. I don't think he was exempt from bad news. But the Bible says about him that he was not afraid of evil tidings. It didn't matter how evil tidings came. He was not afraid, and it tells us the reason why. Because his heart was fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart was fixed, trusting in the Lord. Bad news came, but it didn't stop him from trusting God. Bad news came, but it didn't stop. It didn't stop him from not getting discouraged because he trusted in the Lord. He kept going. He kept doing what we read about in Psalm 112. He kept obeying God. He kept being generous to other people. He kept doing what God wanted him to do. I'm sure, like us, at times when bad news comes to our life, he shed a tear. I'm sure, like happens to us, when bad news comes to our life, it hurts. I'm sure when bad news comes to us, he was like us, and maybe on occasion questioned God as to why it happened. I was talking to a lady this afternoon. She's 85 years old. Wasn't Lois, another lady I visited in the place up in Frankenmuth. She recognized me. I recognized her, and said, "Oh, Pastor, I'm so glad to see you. Could you come into my room for a minute? I need to ask you something." I said, "Well, sure." So I went into her room and said, "Preacher, I've been a Christian all my life, but," she said, "lately I've been having doubts if it's really true. Is the Bible really true? Is God really God? Is Jesus really Jesus?" And I looked at her and I slapped a chair like that. I said, "Come on. Come on. You're 85 years old. You've probably been," and I know she's been saved since she was 5 years old. "You've been a Christian for 80 years. You've trusted God." But some of her kids have been sick, and her husband has already gone to heaven. And I know some of the trials that she's been through. And never once in that time did she question whether God existed and whether Jesus was real. I said, "Come on, you know who's putting those thoughts in your mind? You know who's putting those thoughts in your head? Satan is. He comes to you at your," and she's there because she had a broken bone and had to have a hip replaced, and she's healing. I said, and that's what Satan does. He finds us at our weakest moments and then puts those doubts in our mind. And I said, "You don't need to doubt God. You just keep go back to the book. You keep going back to the Bible. God is God. Jesus is Jesus. And you don't need to doubt it for one moment. The thing that you've lived your life on, the faith that you've lived your life on for 80 years needs to take over now." And I said, "Just tell Satan to get lost." Amen. Just tell him to get lost. And we had prayer. I went out in my car and I bowed my head and I said, "Satan, leave her alone. In the name of Jesus Christ, leave her alone." And so this man in Psalm 112, I'm sure Satan came to him. I'm sure Satan picked out the times in his life when he was hurting, the times in his life when he faced trials and hardships and hurts that came into his life. And Satan tried to plant doubts in his mind about the goodness of God. And he said, no. I'm not going to fear evil news. I'm not going to fear evil tidings because my heart is fixed. I am trusting in my God." And that's the attitude we all ought to have. We're going to be bombarded with evil news. We're going to be bombarded with bad news. If you watch the television, if you read the newspaper, if you read magazines, if you listen to the radio, I guarantee you, you are going to hear more bad news than you hear good news, if you hear any good news at all. But we need to have the same attitude that this man has. Hey, I'm not going to fear it. I'm not going to be afraid because my heart is fixed. I'm trusting in the Lord. Now, that's my introduction. Let me, and I know it's 7, well, it's about almost 7 o'clock, but here's my message. I have just one point tonight. I want to make one statement. I want to tell you how you can get to the point where you can fix your heart on God and trust Him and not be afraid of evil news. And once I make this statement, you're going to say, "Oh, preacher, you're a simple preacher." I confess, I am a simple preacher. I like to put the cookies on the bottom shelf so everybody can get to them. But here's how you cannot fear evil news. Make sure you get in your life more good news than you do bad news. Amen. Just make sure you get in your life more good news than you get bad news. Now, this is a truth that I've known for a long time, but I didn't know I knew it. I can remember when I was a little boy, and my mom would cook dinner, and she would cook something that I did not like and something that I did like. And I'll just use the example of Brussels sprouts. I still don't like Brussels sprouts. You know, those little cabbage-looking things that, I mean, I've tried them deep-fried. I've tried them, I've tried them. I don't like them. But she one day had Brussels sprouts. Now, I like mashed potatoes. My grandson Aaron likes mashed potatoes. And so Mom set those two dishes on the table with the other stuff that she was having. She said, you got to eat some of everything. Some of everything. So I took me one Brussels sprout. I covered it up with a pile of mashed potatoes like that. I wanted more good stuff than bad stuff. And I got it down. I think I've told some of you, I am not a coffee drinker. I hate coffee. I lost a bet one time. I don't even remember what I bet. But if I lost the bet, I had to drink a cup of coffee. So it was when I was working in the office, and it was a big event. Everybody gathered around because they wanted to see Daryl drink a cup of coffee. So, and they brought me the cup. It was about this big. So I took some milk that they had there. I filled the cup up to where there's only that much room in the top. I took me 4 tablespoons of sugar, stirred it into that milk, and then filled a little bit of room that was left in the cup up with coffee. I wanted more good stuff than I wanted bad stuff. Now, I will tell you that the world even understands this principle. How many of you have heard the song, "Just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down"? Even the world knows it, that if you've got to stomach something bad, just make sure you get more good than you do bad. Now, the same thing comes to not fearing evil news. If you want to get to the point in your life where you're not going to fear evil news and we're bombarded with it every day, you just make sure you get more good news than you get bad news. You say, okay, preacher, where do I get the good news? Right here. Right here. There's more good news in here than the world can ever come up with bad news. Right here. And we ought to be in this book more time than we are sitting in front of the television. We ought to be in this book more time than we're reading the newspaper. We ought to be in this book more time than we're reading magazines. We ought to be in this book more time than we're listening to the radio. We ought to make sure we get in our life more good news than we do bad news. And the best place to get good news is from the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. Hey, let me give you some good news tonight. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. God says, you pray, you call on me, and I'll show you things you haven't even thought of. Kelly almost said it in her testimony. She said, better be careful what you pray for. God may give it to you. God may not only give what you pray for, he may give you more than you pray for. That's what that verse says. Hey, that's good news. I got a God that hears my prayer. I got a God, when I call unto him, will show me things that I can't even imagine in my mind. That's good news. How about John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would tell you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, I don't know any news better than that. One day Jesus is coming to get us. I mean, it may come by way of death, or it may come by way of the rapture. It doesn't matter which way it comes. I know where we're going to end up. I know we're going to end up in heaven. I know we're going to end up in that place that he has prepared for us. You know, just think about it. God took 6 days to make the earth. 6 days. How long has he been working on heaven? Huh? How good is heaven going to be? Hey, that's good news. That's better news than anything that the world has to offer. How about Matthew 28:20? And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. We have a God that will never forsake us. We have a God that will never leave us. Doesn't matter what's going on in our life. Doesn't matter the circumstances of our life. There's not something going to happen that caused God to leave us. He says, I'm going to be with you forever. I'm going to be with you to the end of the world. I'm not leaving. I'm staying. Hey, that's good news. I got a God that's not going to desert me. I got a God that's not going to leave. I got a God that's going to stay with me forever and ever and ever. How about Philippians 4:19? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm glad that verse doesn't say that God shall supply all my need based on the money that the bank has. I'm glad that verse doesn't say that God shall supply all my need by all the gold in the mines of all the world. I'm glad that verse says that God will supply my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Man, it doesn't get any better than that. Hey, let the world go ahead. Bring on their bad news. Bring on what's going on in the world. Bring on all the hardships and the sadness that's going on in the world. I got a book full of good news. I want to spend more time in here than I do hearing about what the world has to say. Amen. How about Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I don't have to operate in this life. I don't have to serve God in my own strength. I can depend on him. I can depend on the strength that he gives. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things, not some things, not most things, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Doesn't matter what the circumstances of our lives are. I mean, if our heart is fixed and we're trusting God, then we know that whatever he allows to come into our life, he has a purpose for it. He has a reason, and he's going to work it for good. Again, people say, well, Pastor, I've had some things happen in my life, and it wasn't very good for me. And I always ask them, well, was it good for somebody else? Doesn't say that he's going to work out everything for our good, but he says he's going to work it out for good. Maybe the things that are happening in your life are not worked out for good for you, but maybe they're good for somebody else. Maybe somebody else needs to see how you go through it, trusting in the Lord. Maybe that's going to get them closer to God. Maybe that's going to cause them to trust God more when they see your faith in times of trouble. One more. Well, actually, two more. 1 John 4:4, verse we had in Sunday school last week. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't have any problem telling Satan to scram. I know he's not afraid of me, but he's afraid of the God that lives inside of me. My God, in the form of the Holy Spirit who resides in my body, is more powerful, more omnipotent, greater than anything that Satan has to throw our way. Hey, that's good news. Amen. Good news. One more. I've saved the best to last. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to go to hell. It's what we deserve because we're all sinners and the wages of sin is death. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, just think about that, while we were yet sinners, while we wanted nothing to do with God, why we didn't want it at that time in our life where we didn't care a bit about God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know of any better news in the Bible. I don't know of any better news. Jesus Christ died for sinners. And I say like Paul, of whom I am chief. He died for me. I don't have to go to hell. I ask him to be my Savior. Most of you here tonight have asked him to be your Savior. You don't have to go to hell. You're going to get to go to heaven. You're going to get to spend eternity with God. That's good news. Good news. Good news that outweighs by far any bad news the world has to offer. How do you not fear evil tidings? How do you have your heart fixed, trusting in the Lord? You just keep going back to this book, and you fill your heart, your mind, and your soul with the good news in this book. And then just let the bad news from the world bounce off. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for letting us be here tonight. Holy Spirit, thank you again for meeting with us. Thank you for the blessed promises, the good news, verse after verse after verse that's in this book. Oh, Father, help us to devour it. Help us to wrap ourselves in it. Help us to bathe in it. Help us to make it so much a part of our life that Satan doesn't have any chance of discouraging us. Satan doesn't have any chance of stopping us, because our heart is fixed and we're trusting in you. Father, I pray if there's even one here tonight that's not sure they're on their way to heaven, Holy Spirit, you would convict them. You'd show them their sin, the penalty for that sin, and you'd show them the price that Jesus paid on Calvary to pay for their sin. I pray for Christians out of here. Maybe there's some that have been a little bit discouraged about the news, the bad news that has come into their life of late. Father, just remind them tonight, you're still God. You're still God. You're still in charge. Bring them back to you. Cast out that doubt. Cast out that doubt. And so, Father, just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient. If you tell us to do something, help us to do it. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.